A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. And honestly, it's one of those questions where the answer sits at the intersection of how the AI industry actually works versus how most people assume it works. He's been running this podcast script generation on DeepSeek V4 Pro for about 1,000 episodes now. It works great, it's cost-effective, and he has zero reason to switch. But here's the tension. When DeepSeek drops their next model, he wants to know about it before the press release hits, not weeks later when everyone's already shipping on it. And he's wondering, at a few hundred bucks a month in API spend, can you even get a developer relations conversation started with these vendors? And if so, how do you frame that outreach so someone actually reads it?
This is the information asymmetry problem in AI, and it's only getting worse as release cycles accelerate. You've got enterprise customers who get briefings, early access, dedicated contacts, and then you've got everyone else refreshing a blog page. The gap between those two groups is where real competitive advantage lives or dies right now.
For a solo operator running a production pipeline, that gap isn't just annoying. It's expensive. If a new model drops that could shave 10 hours off your editing workflow per week, every week you don't know about it is real time you're leaving on the table.
So let's unpack what's actually happening structurally, because most people misunderstand why small users get left out of the loop. It's not malice, it's economics. When you're spending $200 or $300 or even $500 a month on API calls, you are a rounding error to DeepSeek, to OpenAI, to Anthropic. Their sales teams are structured around accounts spending $50,000, $100,000, millions per year. You don't appear on their radar because you literally don't appear on their dashboards. The thresholds are set high enough that small accounts get aggregated into a single line item.
The first question is, at what spend level does a human actually start paying attention?
There was some good survey data on this from late 2025. The floor for a named account rep at most AI vendors is around $5,000 a month. Below that, you're in self-serve territory. But here's where it gets interesting. Developer relations is not sales. DevRel teams operate on a completely different axis. They're not measured on revenue. They're measured on community engagement, on adoption metrics, on case studies they can publish, on developer satisfaction scores. So the spend threshold for DevRel engagement is effectively zero, if you have a compelling use case.
That's the key distinction. Sales cares about your wallet. DevRel cares about your story. In a podcast that's generated 1,000 episodes using their model, that's a story.
And the vendors know this. Anthropic has been particularly good about this. Their DevRel team has historically engaged with developers running interesting production workloads even at small scale. There was a case in 2025 where a solo developer running a translation service on Claude's API, spending maybe $400 a month, got early access to Claude 3.5 Opus simply because they wrote a compelling pitch. Their use case was unique. They were handling a multilingual workflow that Anthropic wanted real-world feedback on, and they framed it in a way that made clear what Anthropic would get out of the arrangement.
Which is the entire art of the cold email. Don't lead with what you want, lead with what they get.
What they get, in this case, is a real production pipeline generating over 1,000 episodes of a technical podcast. That's not a toy project. That's a sustained, observable use case where model quality directly translates to output quality. If DeepSeek's next model improves script coherence by 15%, that's measurable. If it reduces the need for manual editing, that's quantifiable. Those are the metrics that make a DevRel person's eyes light up.
Let's talk about what that email actually looks like. Because I think most people, and I include myself in this, psych themselves out before they even start writing. They think, I'm nobody. Why would DeepSeek care about my $300 a month?
The structure matters enormously, and I've seen enough successful DevRel outreach to know what works. First paragraph, who you are and what you build, not your life story, two sentences. I run a production AI pipeline that generates scripts for a technical podcast. We produced over 1,000 episodes using DeepSeek V4 Pro. That immediately signals you're not a tire kicker. You're a real user with real volume.
The 1,000 episodes detail. That's doing a lot of work there. It says longevity, reliability, and it gives them a concrete number to cite internally when they're making the case to give you early access.
Second paragraph. Why their models matter to your specific workflow. This is where you get granular. Don't say your models are great. Say, DeepSeek V4 Pro handles our multi-turn script generation with consistent character voice and technical accuracy. A 15% improvement in output quality would save us approximately 10 hours of editing per week. Now you've given them a success metric they can test against.
You've also signaled that you're sophisticated enough to know what a 15% improvement actually looks like in your pipeline. That's the kind of detail that separates a serious user from someone who just wants to try the shiny new thing.
Third paragraph, the ask. Don't say, I'd love to be in the loop. Say, I'm requesting early access to new DeepSeek models as they enter internal testing or beta. I'm happy to sign an NDA and provide structured feedback on how they perform in our specific podcast generation workflow. Specificity is credibility. Vague requests get ignored because they look like they came from someone who doesn't know what they're asking for.
Then the fourth paragraph. And this is the one most people skip. What you offer in return. I can provide detailed feedback on model performance in a production context, serve as a case study for your developer blog, and give public credit when the model ships. You're essentially offering to be free QI and free marketing. For a DevRel team, that's genuinely valuable.
It's worth noting that DeepSeek's communication style is different from OpenAI's or Anthropic's. DeepSeek is a Chinese company, and their DevRel approach has historically been less outward-facing than the American vendors. They don't run the same kind of developer conference circuit. Their announcements tend to come through their API documentation changelog, their status page, and occasionally through their official account on X.
Which brings us to the other half of this. The automated approach. Because maybe you send the email and you don't hear back. Or maybe you don't want to rely on a human relationship at all. What does the self-service monitoring setup actually look like?
This is where it gets technically satisfying. Every major AI vendor exposes their available models through an API endpoint. OpenAI has the /v1/models endpoint. It returns, at any given time, roughly 40 to 50 model IDs. And here's the thing that most people don't realize. New models often appear in that endpoint hours or even days before the press release goes live.
You're telling me the API itself is the canary.
The API is the canary. And it's been this way for years. When OpenAI was preparing to roll out GPT-4 Turbo, the model ID showed up in the model's endpoint almost a full day before the blog post went up. When Anthropic launched Claude 3.5 Sonnet in June 2024, there was a 2-week early access window for select partners, but the model ID appeared in the API for those partners well before the general announcement. If you're pulling that endpoint daily and diffing the output, you catch these things.
This is a Python script that takes, what, 20 lines?
You call the endpoint, you parse the JSON response, you compare it against a stored list of known model IDs, and if there's a difference, you fire off a notification. Email, Slack, Telegram, whatever. You run it as a cron job once a day. It costs basically nothing. And for DeepSeek specifically, their API documentation includes a changelog section at apidocs.deepseek.com/news, and they maintain a status page that tracks model availability. Between those two sources and the API model listing, you've got triple coverage.
There's also the LMSYS chatbot arena leaderboard. That thing updates weekly, and it's been the first place new model variants show up more times than I can count. Some vendor will quietly drop a checkpoint into the arena under a code name, and the community figures out what it is within hours.
The codename game is its own entire subculture. You'll see something like DeepSeek V4 Pro 2226051 appear on the leaderboard with no announcement, and the Discord servers light up. Which brings me to the third piece of advice here. Join the vendor's community channels. Discord, forums, whatever they're running. DevRel teams routinely post early access opportunities in those channels before anything hits the official blog. It's where they recruit beta testers. It's where they float trial balloons.
The barrier to entry is literally creating an account and lurking. You don't need to be a big spender. You don't need an introduction. You just need to be there when the message drops.
The Discord-first announcement strategy has become standard across the industry. OpenAI does it. Anthropic does it. DeepSeek's community presence is a bit more fragmented. They have an official Discord, but it's not as active as the Western vendors. Their primary channel for developer communication has been their API documentation changelog and their status page. So for DeepSeek specifically, I'd weight the automated monitoring higher than the community channel approach.
Let's talk about the vendor perspective for a moment, because I think it's useful to understand why this pitch actually works when it works. When DeepSeek or Anthropic or OpenAI is preparing to ship a new model, they have a problem. They need real-world testing across diverse use cases before they can confidently announce general availability. Their internal evaluations tell them a lot, but they don't tell them everything. They don't know how the model handles a 1,000-episode podcast script generation pipeline until someone actually runs it through that pipeline.
That's where the small vocal user becomes valuable. You're not just a consumer of their API, you're a source of signal. You're going to catch edge cases their internal testing missed. You're going to generate feedback that helps them improve the model before it hits general availability. And if you're willing to let them write up your experience as a case study, you're also a marketing asset.
The word of mouth thing is not trivial either. When a solo developer tweets, "Just got early access to the new DeepSeek model, and it's handling my podcast scripts noticeably better than V4 Pro," that's authentic endorsement that no amount of corporate blog post can replicate.
The vendors know this. It's why Anthropic's DevRel team has been so aggressive about cultivating relationships with indie developers. It's why OpenAI runs their developer ambassador program. These companies understand that the developer community's perception of their models is shaped as much by individual users sharing their experiences as by benchmark scores.
If you're Daniel, sitting there with 1,000 episodes of production history and a pipeline that's working beautifully, you're actually in a stronger position than you think. The pitch isn't, "Please help me, I'm small." The pitch is, "I have a production use case that's been running for 1,000 episodes. I can give you real feedback, and I'll tell people about it."
Let me draft what that email might actually look like in practice. Subject line: Production Podcast Pipeline, seeking early access to new DeepSeek models. Opening: I run the script generation pipeline for My Weird Prompts, a technical podcast that's produced over 1,000 episodes using DeepSeek V4 Pro. Our workflow involves multi-turn script generation with consistent character voice, technical accuracy requirements, and a production cadence of multiple episodes per week. Then the impact statement: DeepSeek V4 Pro has been remarkably solid for our use case, and we're eager to test new models as they become available. Even modest improvements in output coherence or instruction following would meaningfully reduce our editing overhead. I estimate that a 15% quality improvement would save approximately 10 hours of editing per week.
That's the quantifiable impact. Now the ask.
I'm requesting early access to new DeepSeek models as they enter internal testing or beta. I'm happy to sign an NDA and provide structured, detailed feedback on how new models perform in our specific production context. In return, I can offer real-world evaluation data, a published case study for your developer blog, and public attribution when the model ships. Close with, happy to hop on a call or provide additional details about our pipeline. Thanks for considering.
That's 4 paragraphs. It takes 2 minutes to read. It tells them exactly who you are, exactly what you want, and exactly what they get. And the worst thing that happens is they don't respond, which leaves you exactly where you are now.
That's the thing about DevRel outreach. The downside is zero. You spend 20 minutes writing an email. If it works, you get early access to models that could materially improve your product. If it doesn't, you've lost nothing except the time it took to write the email. The asymmetry is entirely in your favor.
It's worth addressing the elephant in the room here, which is that DeepSeek is a Chinese company operating under a different set of constraints than OpenAI or Anthropic. Their developer relations approach has historically been less personalized. They don't have the same kind of developer conference presence. Their communication tends to be more formal, more documentation-driven.
That's true, and it means the automated monitoring approach is probably more important for DeepSeek specifically than for the American vendors. With OpenAI or Anthropic, I'd say the DevRel email has a decent chance of getting a response. With DeepSeek, I'd weight the monitoring script and the API changelog more heavily, but I'd still send the email because, again, the cost is zero and the potential upside is significant.
Let's get concrete about the monitoring setup, because I think that's the part most people will actually implement this week. You mentioned the OpenAI model's endpoint. What's the equivalent for DeepSeek?
DeepSeek's API documentation includes a model's endpoint that returns available model IDs. You can pull it the same way you'd pull OpenAI's. Their documentation at apidocs.deepseek.com includes a news section that tracks model releases, deprecations, and pricing changes. And their status page, status.deepseek.com, or equivalent, tracks operational status and model availability. A simple monitoring setup would pull all three sources daily and alert on changes.
This is a weekend project. It's not a weekend project. It's a Tuesday evening project.
It's a Tuesday evening project, and the tools for this have gotten remarkably good. ChangaDetection.io will watch any web page for changes and notify you. You don't even need to write code if you don't want to. Just point it at the DeepSeek changelog page and the status page, and it'll email you when something changes. For the API polling, a 10-line Python script with the request library and a cron job is all you need.
The other thing worth monitoring is the LMSYS Chatbot Arena leaderboard. That's where you'll often see a new model variant appear under a codename before any official announcement. The community on the LMSYS Discord is extremely good at spotting these things and reverse engineering what they are.
The Chatbot Arena has become the de facto early warning system for model releases. When a new model shows up with a name like DeepSeek Pro 2000-26-0601 and starts climbing the ELO rankings, you know something is coming. And LMSYS publishes weekly updates, so you're never more than a few days behind.
To recap the monitoring stack, pull the vendor's model's API endpoint daily, watch their changelog and status page via Chainka Detection or a custom script, keep an eye on the Chatbot Arena leaderboard, and join their Discord or community forum. That's four independent signals, any one of which could give you hours to days of advance notice.
None of them require you to be a big spender or have a special relationship. This is all publicly available information. You just have to be systematic about collecting it.
Which brings us to the broader question that this episode is really about. The AI industry is accelerating. Model release cycles are getting shorter. Some vendors are now shipping monthly. The cost of not knowing about a new model is going up, because the performance jumps between releases are still significant. If you're running a set-it-and-forget-it approach to model selection, you're going to fall behind.
The information asymmetry problem compounds over time. The enterprise customers who get early access are integrating new models into their pipelines weeks before you even know the model exists. By the time the press release hits, they've already optimized their workflows around the new capabilities. The gap widens with every release cycle.
The question becomes, is this sustainable? Will the industry eventually standardize model release notifications for all API users, or will early access remain a privilege of enterprise spend?
I'm skeptical that it'll standardize, because the incentives push in the opposite direction. Early access is a selling point for enterprise contracts. If everyone gets the same notification at the same time, the enterprise value proposition gets weaker. And the vendors are competing fiercely for those large contracts. They're not going to give up a differentiator voluntarily.
On the other hand, the developer community has gotten very good at routing around these information bottlenecks. The chatbot arena, the discords, the automated monitoring scripts. These are all adaptations to the asymmetry. The community is building its own early warning system because the vendors aren't providing one.
That's the optimistic read on this. The tools for staying informed are getting better, even if the vendors' communication practices aren't. A solo developer with a few scripts and some Discord notifications can be nearly as well informed as an enterprise customer with a dedicated account rep. The gap is still there, but it's bridgeable.
Let's talk about what happens after you get the notification, because knowing about a new model is step one. Actually evaluating whether it improves your pipeline is step two, and that's where most people fall down.
This is the evaluation problem, and it's harder than it looks. The approach of just swap the model and see how it feels, which is essentially what's been done here for 1,000 episodes, is actually not a bad heuristic for a solo operator. formal evaluations are expensive and time-consuming. If you're generating podcast scripts and you can tell within 2 or 3 episodes whether the new model is better, that's a perfectly valid evaluation strategy.
The thing I'd add is, keep a log. Even if you're not running formal evals, write down what you notice. Episode 201 with the new model. Character voice was more consistent, but it elucidated a fact about Mongolian geography. That kind of qualitative note is surprisingly valuable when you're trying to decide whether to switch permanently.
It's also the kind of feedback that DevRel teams love. If you do get early access and you're providing structured feedback, even if it's just a paragraph per episode about what worked and what didn't, you're delivering real value to the vendor. You're helping them improve the model before general release.
The full workflow is set up monitoring, get notified, request access or just start testing, log your observations, and decide whether to switch. And the whole thing can run on a few $100s a month of API spend, plus some scripts that cost nothing.
Let me address one more misconception, because I hear it a lot. People assume that if they're not spending thousands of dollars a month, they're not serious enough to warrant a vendor's attention. But DevRel teams don't think in terms of spend. They think in terms of stories. Can they tell a compelling story about your use case? Can they point to you as an example of a developer doing something interesting with their models? If the answer is yes, your spend level is irrelevant.
The 1,000-episode podcast pipeline is a great story. It's specific, it's sustained, it's public, and it demonstrates real-world reliability. That's the kind of case study that makes a DevRel team look good internally.
It's worth noting that the AI industry is still young enough that these relationships are relatively fluid. This isn't like trying to get a dedicated sales rep at AWS when you're spending $300 a month. That door is firmly closed. But DevRel and AI is still figuring itself out. The teams are small. The processes are informal. A well-written email can open doors.
To bring this back to the original question, yes, there are vendors who would entertain a developer relations conversation at a few $100s a month of spend. The threshold is not spend, it's use case quality and how you frame the outreach. And if the human relationship route doesn't pan out, the automated monitoring approach will still get you notified of new models hours to days before the press release.
Here's the actionable blueprint. Step 1. Draft the DevRel email today. Structure it as who you are and what you build, why their models matter to your workflow, what you're asking for specifically, and what you offer in return. Send it to DeepSeek's developer contact address, and consider sending similar emails to Anthropic and OpenAI if you're open to using their models.
Step 2. Set up automated monitoring. For DeepSeek, that means polling their model's endpoint, watching their changelog page and status page, and keeping an eye on the chatbot arena. This takes a couple of hours to set up and then runs on autopilot.
Step 3. Join the vendor's Discord or community forum. Even if you never post, the early access opportunities and beta testing calls often show up there first. It's free signal.
Step 4. When a new model drops, test it against your actual workload. Don't rely on benchmarks. Run it through your pipeline and see what happens. Log your observations. If it's better, switch. If it's not, stick with what works.
The 2-hour investment to set this up could save you weeks of lag time on every future model release. That's an absurdly good return on effort. And the email, even if it doesn't get a response, costs you 20 minutes and might change how you access models for years.
The broader trend here is worth sitting with. Model release cycles are compressing. What used to be an annual event is becoming quarterly, then monthly. The if it ain't broke philosophy, which is completely rational for a solo operator, becomes riskier as the gap between your model and the state-of-the-art widens faster. The cost of staying informed is going down, but the cost of falling behind is going up.
That tension is only going to intensify. We're heading toward a world where model releases are continuous, where the model you're using today is subtly different from the model you were using last week, because the vendor is constantly updating weights and parameters. In that world, the monitoring problem becomes even more critical. You need to know not just when a new named model drops, but when the model you're already using has changed under you.
That's the next frontier of this problem. For now, the immediate task is straightforward. Send the email, set up the monitoring, join the Discord. Do it this week.
If you're listening to this and thinking, this doesn't apply to me, I'm not running a podcast on AI-generated scripts. The principles apply to any production use case. If you're building a product on top of these APIs, you need to know when the underlying models change. The specific monitoring endpoints are different for each vendor, but the approach is the same.
The information asymmetry isn't going away, but it's more bridgeable than most people think. And now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In antiquity, the mountainous region of what is now Tajikistan produced a fermented sheep's milk cheese called Panir Egg Gusfandi, which appears in Sogdian trade records from the 4th century CE. The fermentation relied on a specific strain of lactobacillus that thrived only above 2,000 meters, meaning the cheese could not be replicated at lower altitudes, a geographical monopoly encoded in microbiology.
A cheese that enforced its own appellation, d'origine through bacterial altitude requirements.
The Sogdians were out here running a vertically integrated dairy cartel. I'm impressed.
Thanks to Hilbert Flumingtop for producing, and for that very on-brand fact about microbial terroir in ancient Central Asia. This has been My Weird Prompts. If you found this useful, leave a review wherever you listen. It helps other people who are trying to figure out how this industry actually works find the show. We're at myweirdprompts.com. See you next time.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.